Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is side two of For the Record program number 400, titled This Earth Island, being recorded on February 23rd of 2000, and again, as I mentioned on side A, that is a pun. The title is a pun on a famous science fiction movie from the 1950s called This Island Earth, and the title is a reference to the Nazi geopolitical concept of the Earth Island, which is, I believe, at the core of the events in and around September 11th, and also the confrontation with Iraq, and also the EU/German support for the PLO in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict as well. One should not oversimplify any of these matters, and again, in past discussion of what I call the virtual state that is the underground Reich. Some of the many complexities of this very complex issue are explained at length. Also, for the record, so to speak, vis-a-vis the coming war in Iraq, I don't know. One of the very few people who doesn't know. I believe that there are many arguments against military involvement there. There are also arguments for, and there are questions that have not been answered, such as possibly Iraqi involvement in the foot-and-mouth outbreak that took place in the United Kingdom in the spring of 2001. The question mark Iraqi, unquote, Middle Eastern links to the Oklahoma City bombing, and links connecting white supremacist and fascist elements with Islamo-fascist and secular Arabo-fascist elements of the Muslim and Arab world. Again, For the Record program number 391 has a long description at spitfirelist.com that explains gives a summary analysis of my discussion of September 11th and related events, and that is periodically updated to include new information. Now, to indicate the inadequacy of not only the administration's claims about Iraqi contact with al-Qaeda, which I don't think have been convincingly made, and also to indicate the inadequacy of the arguments on the other side, which is that there is no connection, and who knows about a connection to September 11th, we're going to begin the second side of the program with an article from the Financial Times of Thursday, February 13th of 2003, article by Mark Hubend, or Hubend, H-U-B-A-N-D, the Financial Times security correspondent. This is headlined, Al-Qaeda Connection Not Ruled Out. Now, in the article that follows, bear in mind the Muslim Brotherhood's links both to the Third Reich and to al-Qaeda and to the al-Taqwa milieu. Bear in mind the Muslim Brotherhood's links to the Republican Party and its ethnic outreach milieu. We're going to touch back on those later. And also bear in mind that even though he is a secular figure, that Saddam Hussein also has a political heritage, which through his uncle and political mentor, Khairullah al-Tufa, also goes back to the Third Reich. This article reads in part, U.S. claims that this week's taped message, apparently from al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden, is proof of links between the terrorist network and Iraq, has obscured new evidence regarded by intelligence officials as a more accurate indication of such contacts. The statement in the tape made clear that al-Qaeda's support for Muslims in Iraq was a religious ideal and, quote, not in the name of national ideologies, nor to seek victory for the ignorant governments that rule all Arab states, including Iraq, unquote. In 1991, Mr. bin Laden offered his Islamic fighters to the Saudi government in the hope that they would be used to oust Iraq's secular regime from Kuwait, but his offer was rejected. Then, in 1999, an al-Qaeda delegation sought to build ties with Baghdad, but was rebuffed. However, Mr. bin Laden's own criticism of Iraq's regime has not precluded ties in the past. And again, note that these go through the Syrian branch of the Muslim Brotherhood, again, an organization that was allied with Nazi Germany and Fascist Italy. Since the arrest of alleged al-Qaeda operatives in Spain in the wake of the September 11th attacks in the U.S., evidence has revealed that ties between senior al-Qaeda operatives in Europe and Iraq go back as far as the early 1980s. Many of those arrested in Spain are former members of the Syrian Muslim Brotherhood, or SMB. Ties between former SMB members in Spain and Germany extend to the inner circle around Mohammed Atta, the Hamburg-based terrorist who led the September 11th hijackers. Iraq is long known to have given money to the families of Palestinian Hamas suicide bombers, but the new evidence of both Iraq and Al-Qaeda's ties with the Syrian Muslim Brotherhood further undermines the view that Iraq's secularism is a barrier to ties with Islamists. Key figures within the SMB trained up until 1986 at the Al-Rashdiya camp near Baghdad, where they were provided with lessons in sabotage and basic combat techniques, according to testimony from detainees being held in Arab countries. Intelligence officials say Iraq intended to use the SMB as a lever over the Syrian leadership, with whom relations were often poor. One key figure in the SMB, who trained in the Iraqi camp and has subsequently been identified as an Al-Qaeda operative in Europe, is Imad Yarkas, also known as Abu Dada. He was arrested in Spain in November of 2001 and is known to have trained Syrian Muslim Brotherhood members in Iraq in the early 1980s. He spent time in Germany, where he shared an apartment with both Mohammed Atta and Ramzi bin al-Shib, who admitted last year that he was a co-planner of the September 11th attacks. Another former SMB member is Mohammed Haidar Zamar, who is now being held in Syria. Mr. Zamar developed close ties with Al-Qaeda in Sudan in the mid-1990s, according to one of his former associates. And we talked about Mohammed Haidar Zaidar in a number of different broadcasts dealing with the Battle of Men with Hill, as I call it, and the Hamburg September 11th cell. Again, one of the things that I think unites these various elements of the virtual state that is the Underground Reich is, in fact, redundantly, the Underground Reich itself. And again, this is a complex phenomenon and one that is purposefully intended to escape public view and concrete analysis. So if the thesis that I'm presenting here is elusive, it is because we are looking at a deliberately elusive underground political movement of consummate power and ultimately enormous deadliness. And again, I suspect that many elements of the population of the Earth Island, including the PLO and Hamas, elements of Al-Qaeda, the Muslim Brotherhood, and also elements within the Bush administration itself, as well as elements within the right wing of Israel, and not to be misunderstood as characterizing Zionism as fascist, a common third position viewpoint that one is hearing increasingly in this country, but rather that the Underground Reich is deliberately promoting hostilities between elements that are intended ultimately to destroy each other and to bring about a world Aryan Underground Reich triumph sometime later in this century. Now, in discussing the PLO and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, I have noted in many past programs that Yasser Arafat, the head of the PLO, is not only a protege of Haj Amin al-Husseini, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, a recruiter of the Hanjar Division and a key Axis spy, an individual also close to people like Ahmed Huber of al-Taqwa, but Yasser Arafat is also a protege of Otto Skorzeny, head of the Odessa, an SS colonel, and a key operative of the Galen organization as well. We've talked about that in many programs, including For the Record program number 340. In past discussions, I've also noted, including For the Record 395, that the Palestinian Authority is bankrolled primarily by the German-dominated European Union. So one should note, as the differences between Europe and the United States grow wider, that what I believe is going on basically is the use of various Muslim and Middle Eastern populations as proxy warriors, with the goal ultimately of provoking the either physical and or political and economic destruction of the United States, the complete annihilation of Israel and world Jewry, and the destruction of most of the Arab world as well, the remainder of which would be subjugated by the Underground Reich. There has been an interesting reflection on the view that I presented concerning the use of Middle Eastern populations as proxy warriors by the Underground Reich. This is also from the Financial Times. This is from Friday, February 7th of 2003, article by Tobias Buck in Brussels, headlined EU to probe claims of Palestinian funds misuse. And in light of the past analysis I presented of the sponsorship of the Palestinian Authority and PLO, consider the following very carefully. The European Union's fraud watchdog has decided to investigate EU payments to the Palestinian Authority following allegations that those funds are being channeled into supporting terrorist activities. The move follows a call by 168 members of the European Parliament this week to launch a separate inquiry into the use of these payments, which total 10 million euros, up 10 million euros a month, and make up 10% of the Palestinian Authority's general budget. Should investigators indeed find a link between the EU's funding and Palestinian terrorism, they would deal a huge blow to Brussels' standing in the region and further undermine the EU's fledgling efforts to build a credible common foreign policy. It could also spark further tension in the fraught relations between the U.S. and Europe. Skipping down, Ilka Schroeder, a Green MEP from Germany, said an investigation by Olaf would be unable to deliver the political evaluation that the MEPs were seeking. Quote, Olaf can only look at whether funds were misused. Our accusation is that the Commission should have seen that EU funds have been used to fund anti-Semitic terror organizations. And again, the concept of the Earth Island and geopolitics is central here. One of the things to consider also is the economic factor, and bear in mind that in For the Record 344 and 345, I noted that Osama bin Laden in late 2001 called upon al-Qaeda and Muslims to launch terror attacks against targets that would destroy America's economic power. And I would note parenthetically that while George Bush, who although not a conscious agent, I believe, of the underground Reich, is in fact effectively controlled by it, if George Bush's budgetary policies go through in combination with his foreign and national security policy, it will destroy the United States economically. I toss the gauntlet down to any member of the audience to cite a world leader in any time who has waged war while slashing revenues and done so successfully. In that context, and in the context of the underground Reich's proxy war against the U.S., consider the following front page story from the Financial Times of Tuesday, February 11th of 2003. This story is by Elizabeth Rigby in London and Robert Clow in New York. It's headlined, Anti-terror plans raise fears for hedge funds. It reads in part as follows. U.S. Treasury proposals designed to counter terrorist money laundering could threaten investor confidentiality at most of the world's hedge funds, insiders warn. It has drawn up rules that would compel, meaning the U.S. Treasury, has drawn up rules that would compel any hedge fund with a U.S. nexus, unquote, taken to mean a U.S. investor, manager, or sponsor, to give U.S. authorities access to files on its investors. Industry members said the proposal could threaten client confidentiality, which has been cherished by many wealthy individuals who make up the majority of hedge fund investors. Quote, our client confidentiality is out of the window, unquote, said one London-based manager, again quoting, if you have one U.S. investor and nearly all funds do, you will have to disclose all your investors to the U.S., unquote. This will affect thousands of hedge funds, unquote, said one European hedge fund manager. The implications of this are scary, unquote. Skipping down, a Treasury official yesterday stressed that extending the act to offshore hedge funds, quote, was still a proposal, unquote. He added, again quoting, we take very seriously the notion of not overreaching when it is not appropriate, unquote. The Treasury plans to consult the industry before making a final decision. Skipping down, offshore managers who are concerned have every right to be concerned, unquote, said Satosh Kini, U.S.-backed partner at Wilmer Cutler and Pickering. By the way, I would note parenthetically that Wilmer Cutler and Pickering handled the lobbying for Deutsche Telekom in its successful effort, despite the fact that it's controlled by the German government, to buy American telecommunications outlets. And we talked about Wilmer Cutler Pickering in connection with the German corporate control over American media and in connection with the CDU funding scandal. So again, one wonders to what extent the international financial networks have been deliberately tweaked, so to speak, by the underground Reich, which has utilized these for the channeling of monies to various of its proxy warriors from the Middle East. Research credit on the following goes to an attentive member of the listening audience who gleaned this for us from the London Observer of the United Kingdom. This can be accessed at www.observer.co.uk. The full URL will be in the description for $3.91. Now, in combination, or in the context, of the discussion about the conflict between Germania, so to speak, and Anglo-Saxonia, between the EU, Franco-Germany in particular, and the German-dominated EU and the United States and Britain, and in the context of the analysis that I have presented in the past, that this is a geopolitical struggle which is an extension of World War II, and the foundation of which is economic, consider the following. Again, big tip of the hat to a member of the listening audience who kindly researched this for us and sent it to me. This is from the London Observer headline, U.S. to punish German, quote, treachery, unquote, by Peter Beaumont, David Rose, and Paul Beaver. This is from the London Observer of Sunday, February 16th of 2003, and it reads in part as follows. America is to punish Germany for leading international opposition to a war against Iraq. The U.S. will withdraw all its troops and bases from there and end military and industrial cooperation between the two countries, moves that could cost the Germans billions of euros. The plan, discussed by Pentagon officials and military chiefs last week on the orders of Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, is designed to harm, unquote, the German economy to make an example of the country for what the U.S. hawks see as Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder's treachery, unquote. The hawks believe that making an example of Germany will force other countries heavily dependent on U.S. trade to think twice about standing up to America in the future. This follows weeks of increasingly angry exchanges between Rumsfeld and Germany, in which at one point he taunted Germany and France for being an irrelevant part of old Europe, unquote. Now, Rumsfeld has decided to go further by unilaterally imposing the Pentagon sanctions on a country already in the throes of economic problems. We are doing this for one reason only, to harm the German economy, one source told The Observer last week. Our troops contribute many millions of dollars. Why should we continue to support a country which has treated NATO and the protection we provided for decades with such incredible contempt? Another Pentagon source said, the aim is to hit German trade and commerce. It is not just about taking out the troops and equipment, it is also about canceling commercial contracts and defense-related arrangements, unquote. The Pentagon plan and the language expressed by officials close to Rumsfeld has horrified State Department officials who believe that bullying other countries to follow the U.S. line will further exacerbate anti-Americanism and alienate those European countries that support a United Nations resolution authorizing a war. And the article goes on to cite the economic connections here. And again, it is interesting to view this conflict in terms of a continuation of World War II. And as I have said in the past, I think that some of the Middle Eastern populations are being used as proxy warriors, and that in turn the United States is facing a vigorous program of domestic economic subversion from a fifth column, the point element of which is the Bush administration, and the Bush family itself has very strong historical links to the Bormann Organization, as I've discussed in, among other programs, For the Record 273 and in For the Record Program 370. Also, one should note that much of Saddam's much of his weapons of mass destruction came from Europe. In fact, it was a progressive German publication, the Tage Zeitung of Berlin, that noted that of 31 corporations that had helped to equip Saddam Hussein with his weapons of mass destruction, 24 were from Europe, most of them from Austria and Germany, with a considerable French contribution. Note also that the elder George Bush presided over the arming of Saddam Hussein from the American side as well. Now, in For the Record 356, in For the Record 357, and in subsequent broadcasts, I have noted the consummate importance of the March 20th, 2002 raids conducted under Operation Green Quest, and the fact that they not only uncovered links between the Republican Ethnic Outreach Organization and organizations that in turn are linked to Al-Taqwa and the Muslim Brotherhood, For the Record 382 is an important one in this context, but that in turn turn the Operation Green Quest raids, and I talked about this in For the Record 357, were conducted when documentation that was unearthed by the heroic John Loftus, the co-author of the book The Secret War Against the Jews and the author of The Belarus Secret, among other titles, when John Loftus filed a lawsuit, which was then refiled, against Sami Al-Arian, a Palestinian professor at South Florida University, the documentation from John Loftus's lawsuit, when given to U.S. intelligence and law enforcement agents, led to the Operation Green Quest raids of March 20th, and in turn, on April 4th, 2002, Talat Otman, a close political ally of the Bush family, a director of Harkin Energy, part of the BCCI milieu, interceded with the Bush administration and then Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, who has since been booted out, I suspect in part because of this. It was Talat Otman who interceded on behalf of the organizations targeted by Green Quest. Talat Otman gave a Muslim benediction at the Republican convention. Close business associate of George Bush, director of Harkin Energy, protege of the BCCI milieu, part of the audit committee that gave the go-ahead to George Bush's funky Aloha Petroleum deal, as revealed in For the Record program 368 and in the front on a front-page story from the LA Times of July 12th of 2002. A lawsuit against Sami Al-Arian, and again, a big tip of the hat to the heroic John Loftus for this. That lawsuit, in turn, has finally produced an indictment against Sami Al-Arian, and a very revealing indictment it is, although Sami Al-Arian is being championed by elements of the so-called progressive sector. Note the use of the term so-called. It should be noted that, in fact, he has very strong links to the Republican Ethnic Outreach Organization and to the targets of the Operation Green Quest raids, and by extension, to the underground Reich. Wall Street Journal of February 21st of 2002 has an article co-authored by Jess Braven and Glenn R. Simpson headlined, "Florida Professor and Seven Others Are Accused of Terror Funding." It reads in part as follows. Federal authorities accused a Florida college professor and seven other men of conspiring to finance terrorist attacks that killed more than 100 people in Israel and the territories it occupies, including two Americans. A 50-count indictment accused the professor, Sami Al-Arian, of concealing a terrorist cell within, quote, the structure, facilities, and academic environment, unquote, of the University of South Florida in Tampa, using it to raise, manage, and channel funds in a decade-long global conspiracy. The charges carry potential life sentences. Skipping down. Arian has said he campaigned for George W. Bush in 2000. And skipping down again. The indictment alludes to efforts by the defendants to gain political clout, alleging that they sought, quote, to obtain support from influential individuals in the United States under the guise of promoting and protecting Arab rights, unquote. It offers few details of such efforts, but likely will inflame a debate embroiling the Republican Party over efforts to court Muslim Americans. The spat pits conservative activist Grover Norquist, a close ally of the Bush White House who has spent years wooing Muslims through a group he founded called the Islamic Institute, against pro-Israel conservatives led by Frank Gaffney. Mr. Gaffney has accused Mr. Norquist of associating with Islamic radicals and bringing them into contact with the White House. By the way, I would add that's hardly open to debate. Continuing, as we looked at in For the Record 357. A group headed by Mr. Arian, the National Coalition to Protect Political Freedom, once gave an award to Mr. Norquist. Last year, Mr. Arian visited the Islamic Institute's Washington offices, which share offices with Mr. Norquist's Americans for Tax Reform. The Islamic Institute says the visit was brief and perfunctory. The Islamic Institute has received at least $31,000 from a network of Islamic organizations in Virginia under investigation by federal authorities for suspected ties to terrorism, canceled checks, and tax records show. Investigators have said in court papers that the basis of that probe is a financial relationship between the Virginia groups and Mr. Arian's alleged Palestinian Islamic Jihad fronts. And I would note in that context, and by the way, for details, for the record, 356, 357, and 382, among others, about the ethnic outreach connections to this milieu. Finally, I would note that the San Francisco Chronicle of Saturday, February 22nd of 2003 had a Washington Post story by Mike Allen and Richard Leiby, L-E-I-B-Y. This is headlined, "Alleged Terrorist Met with Bush Advisor," and it reads in part as follows. A former university professor indicted this week as a terrorist leader attended a 2001 group meeting in the White House complex with President Bush's senior advisor, Karl Rove, administration officials said Friday. Skipping down of Sami Alarian. Alarian and his family also were photographed with George Bush during a March 2000 campaign stop near Alarian's suburban Tampa home during a chance meeting between the candidate and the family. And Bush sent a letter of apology to the suspect's wife after the Secret Service ejected their son, who was then a congressional intern, from the White House complex during a separate June 2001 meeting of Muslims interested in the president's faith-based initiative. Alarian's appearance at the White House came 6 days earlier, also as part of the administration's outreach to Muslims, officials said. Alarian was one of 160 members of the American Muslim Council who were briefed on Bush's faith-based agenda and other issues by Rove and others in the Eisenhower Executive Office building, which is adjacent to the White House, on June 22, 2001. Skipping down. Alarian told the Washington Post in an interview last year that being cleared into the White House gave him confidence that he was no longer suspected of being a terrorist supporter or sympathizer. Alarian said he sat in the front row during the meeting. The meeting was controversial, but within the White House even before it took place. Several pro-Israel and conservative activists had warned administration officials not to meet with the American Muslim Council contingent because the group had courted controversy for years, knowledgeable sources said. I would note that one of the unfortunate things about the current political landscape is that organizations which have been sort of enfranchised by the media and the so-called progressive sector to speak for the Muslim community, in fact, are extremist organizations or organizations that embrace an extremist viewpoint, including organizations that heavily overlap the Muslim Brotherhood, as well as the milieu of the Operation Green Quest raids. I would also note, whether or not it's relevant, that Tampa, Florida, which is where Sami Alarian was based, Tampa, Florida was where the late John O'Neill, in charge of the Al-Qaeda investigation for the FBI, and frustrated actively by the powers that be in that regard, John O'Neill, when in Tampa, Florida, in the summer of 2000, had a briefcase stolen from him which contained top-secret documents detailing the financial outlays and the personnel assignments for every counter-terrorist and counterintelligence operation in the greater New York City area. And I wonder to what extent the theft of that briefcase might have been in anticipation by the fascist underground and Islamo-fascist fifth column in this country. I wonder whether that might have been in anticipation of the September 11th attacks. I talk about that in a number of programs, including For the Record 326, For the Record 348 as well. Now, again, I have alluded to other programs that are available. Those are available from Spitfire. Email mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com. The Spitfire website at spitfirelist.com, and there will be an article length, detailed, annotated description of For the Record Program 400 within a week of the airing of this broadcast. WFMU is archiving the For the Records programs on Real Audio. More recent programs streaming at WFMU.org/Dave Emery. This concludes Side 2 of For the Record Program number 400, This Earth Island, being recorded on February 23rd of 2003. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.